إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah, to whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds, and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the fire. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we want to begin a topic that's really too broad to handle in just one talk, and we'll try to introduce the topic, inshallah ta'ala. And this is the topic, al-fitna. And I'm recommending for myself and the brothers to review the ahadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahumallah in their book of fitna, in their Sahih al-Bukhari and the Sahih Muslim, so that we can see some of these hadith related to this issue of fitna. This word fitna, it has quite a few meanings, and today we're not going to just discuss all of the meanings of fitna, except to say that the origin of this word, fitna, it means the test, and this is definitely one of the meanings of the word fitna. And then it's been used also for trials and tests and those things that aren't pleasing to Allah. And then the word fitna has been used on everything that's makruh. And by makruh, I mean everything that is bad and ugly, like kufr and sins and criminal acts and what have you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah to Al-Anfal, verse number 25, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He tells us in this ayah, and I command you to fear fitna, that will not just affect the wrongdoers amongst you, and know that indeed Allah is shadidul iqab. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this ayah is warning us to stay away from fitna. And by fitna, not just the fitna of those people themselves who are doing the wrong, but that this fitna that will affect everybody, the people doing it and the people who don't do it. as fear of the punishment of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that can befall all of the people because of the fitna. And we'll try to explain its meaning inshallah, and hopefully it's around the meaning of sins and what have you, that a few are practicing these sins and the rest aren't stopping them until everybody's punished for this fitna of the few. As Imam Al-Qasimi rahimahullah, he says that fitna and this ayah, it has one of two meanings. Either it means sin, like the establishing or the letting go of something that's wrong, or dividing the Muslims, or being lazy and fighting jihad, or it means the punishment. Rather, Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Aslam, rahimahullah, from the scholars of tafsir and from the earlier generations, he says what is meant by fitna here is افتراق الكلمة ومخالفة بعضهم بعضا ومخالفة بعضهم بعضا. He says what is meant by fitna is the division of the word, and this means the division of the Muslims from being on this tawheed and being together, and some of them differing with others of them. And that here, when we take this understanding of this word fitna, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to be aware of this fitna that won't only affect the wrongdoers amongst you, but it will affect everybody. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the narration of Imam Ahmad, and it's authentic inshaAllah, he says, مَا مِن قَوْمٍ يَعْمَلُونَ فِيهِمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي وَفِيهِمْ رَجُلٌ عَزُّ منهم وأمنعوا لا يغيرون إلا عما هم الله عز وجل بإقاب. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you won't have a group of people who will be practicing sins or disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they have a man that's amongst them that's mighty enough and able to prevent them, but they don't prevent them from practicing these sins, except that Allah Azza wa Jal will let the punishment affect all of them. And we can see this in the narration of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu that we quoted before in one of the khutbahs, to show that if some of the people have this fitna with them or this sin with them, and the rest of the people don't chip in to stop them from committing the sins that they commit and the communities, then the punishment is going to affect everybody and not just those people who committed the sins. As Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّكُمْ تَقْرَؤُونَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ إِذَا رَأَوْا مُنْكَرًا فَلَمْ يُغَيِّرُوا يُوشِكُ أَنْ يُعَمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِإِقَابِهِ. And this is the narration of Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi, and from the narration of Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا رَأَوَ الظَّالِمُ فَلَمْ يَأْخُذُوا عَلَى يَدَيْهِ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يُعَمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِإِقَابِهِ. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, O humanity, indeed you all read this ayah, where Allah says, O you who believe, I advise you, or I command you to concern yourselves with yourselves, and those who have gone astray cannot harm you so long as you're guided. And indeed, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, indeed, the people, if they see a wrong and they don't change it, then Allah's punishment is soon to get all of them. And in the narration of Abu Dawood, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they see an oppressor, and they don't stop him, then soon the punishment of Allah would get all of them. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in this ayah and in other narrations, he's explaining that the Muslims, they read this ayah and they misunderstand it. They think that Allah, when he says, O you who believe, concern yourselves with yourselves, those who go astray cannot harm you so long as you're guided, they think, just worry about me. Mix them. Let them do whatever they want to because they're astray. And they can't harm me so long as I'm on guidance. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to clarify this, that what's meant by this ayah of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. Concern yourselves with yourselves, meaning with each other, meaning enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, as Abu Bakr and Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained, that if the people let some of them commit some wrong, some disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or widespread sins, and then they don't change it, then the punishment of Allah is going to get all of them. Okay, there was just a group of the Muslims who were practicing these sins, but the majority who had the ability to stop them didn't stop them, and then the punishment got everyone. Nobody should understand in this deen of al-Islam that if a group of people are practicing sins and causing corruption and fasad in the land, that it's not upon the Muslims to do anything. As the people call it a fitna to enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. If you see the people doing wrong and you go to stop them, the people tell you, why are you going to stop them and causing all that fitna? Just worry about yourself. If you are right, let them do whatever they want to. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's correcting this understanding that you all are reading the Quran but you're not understanding it properly and thinking that the people can do anything they want to, and when the punishment comes, it's only going to affect them. And here Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he explained that the punishment is going to get everybody, as he quoted the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, to correct the understanding of the Muslims. And this is only an explanation of the ayat that we began, to fear this fitna, that the punishment of it is going to affect everyone and not just the wrongdoers in specific. So this fitna that spreads in the community, we have to be aware that it's upon the Muslims to stop it, or when the punishment comes, everyone's going to be affected. And many times we think of the punishment in the hereafter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's more severe, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. But sometimes that punishment takes place here in this world with failure and division and loss and what have you, and not having the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And this could be from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Muslims letting the fitna spread amongst them and not trying to stop it. And we know that this has definitely been the case in America, as when we accepted Islam, we carry with us the freedom of speech, and to let anyone say whatever he wants to say, and to let anyone do whatever he wants to do, and say he's going to be held accountable. Yes, he's going to be held accountable for what he does as an individual, and also the community, if they have the ability to do something about it, then they're going to be held accountable also. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the narration of Imam Ahmad and Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said that it's authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَا يُعَذِّبُ الْعَامَّةِ بِعَمِلِ الْخَاصَّةِ حَتَّى يَرَى الْمُنْكَرَ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانَيْهِمْ وَهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُنْكِرُوا فَلَا يُنْكِرُونَ فَإِذَا فَعْلُوا ذَلِكَ عَذَّبَ اللَّهُ الْخَاصَّةِ والعام. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal will not punish the masses for the deeds of the specific until they see some wrong being spread amongst themselves and they have the ability to change it or to go against it, and they don't. When it becomes like this, then Allah would punish the specific and the masses. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is correcting us that yes, if people do something, everyone's not going to be punished by what that person does. He's going to wear the burden of what he does himself until that thing affects the Muslims and they have the ability to do something about it, and then they don't do something about it, then everyone's going to get punished because of that. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam explains in this hadith. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and this is just to clarify the statement of the ayat that we began, as he says that Allah commanded the believers not to let any munkar spread amongst themselves, or to be established or to fester amongst themselves, except that Allah is going to punish all of them if this becomes the case. So here Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is explaining from this ayat where Allah is telling us, beware of the fitna where not only the wrongdoers are going to be punished, but even the innocent are going to be punished. Fear that fitna. And that's the fitna that takes place
where the people have the ability to do something about it, and then they don't do anything about it. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is explaining that Allah is commanding us, don't let that thing fester up in the community or amongst the Muslims, and then you don't do anything about it. Because if you don't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish all of the Muslims. And this is the first point that we wanted to make about this issue of fitna, that we understand that the fitna, or amongst the meanings of the fitna, is this widespread sin or disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And that this fitna, everyone could be punished because of it if they don't all chip in to stop or to go against and to oppose this fitna. And we're to have our understanding corrected by this explanation of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when people are causing a fitna, it's not on the Muslims just to turn a blind eye or a deaf ear, because if they do, then they're going to wear the punishment that those people who caused the fitna themselves, as Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained from this ayah, that it's upon the Muslims to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong, or everyone's going to wear the sin of that fitna spreading. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in his book Kitab al-Fitan, the book of Fitan, he brings his first chapter, as he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. He says the chapter, what is related to the statement of Allah Ta'ala, and fear the fitna, that not only will the wrongdoers be punished by specifically, but that all of the people would be punished by. And وَمَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُحَذِّرُ مِنَ الْفِتْنِ. And what the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ used to do in warning the people against the fitn. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he began by bringing some hadith related to this statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to warn the people from fitan. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he shows, and we're going to see from the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, that amongst the fitan that spreads is the issue of innovation or bid'ah in this deen, or committing major sins with our body parts. And the bid'ah is in the act of our belief, and the sins are with our body parts. As Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he brings in the first hadith, قالت أسماء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أنا على حوضي أنتظر من يرد علي فيؤخذ بناس من دوني أقول أمتي فيقال لا تدري مشوا على القهقرة. قال ابن أبي مليكة اللهم إنا نعوذ بك أن نرجع على أعقابنا أو نفتنا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I was waiting for the people to go past when I was at my hawd. And this is on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the people were being snatched away before they got to me. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will say when this is taking place that they're from my ummah. And it will be said, you don't know that they went back after they had accepted Islam. Meaning they left Islam after they had accepted Islam. And then one of the narrators of the hadith in the chain, Ibn Abi Mulaika, he says, O Allah, indeed we seek refuge in you, that we turn back on our heels, meaning that we apostate, or that we are affected by the fitna. And we seek refuge in Allah from what Ibn Abi Mulaika has seek refuge in Allah, that Allah save us and protect us from becoming or returning to kufar after He has guided us to Islam, or that we be affected by the fitna. And the other narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the next narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أنا فرطكم على الحوض لا يرفع عنا إلي رجال منكم حتى إذا أهويت لأناولهم اختلجوا دوني فأقول أي ربي أصحابي فيقول لا تدري ما أحدث بعدك. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I will be before you on behold, and then some men from amongst you will be presented to me, so that when I wanted to get close to them, they were prevented from coming near me, and I would say, Ey Rabbi, they are my companions. And he will say, you don't know what they invented after you. And this invention that came after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, this is in relation to the bid'ah or the innovations in the deen, and also in the widespread fitna that can take place amongst the Muslims when the sins become widespread and open amongst the Muslims. And then Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he continues after this to bring some of the other chapters to show where the fitna takes place in this ummah. But here Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and this is the way of some of the ulama, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best, that they deal with that which is most important first, and then work their way down. And he begins with the inventions and this deen and the open sins that take place from the fitna after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and it's upon us to be aware and to warn the people against this fitna, meaning to warn the people from letting this bid'ah take place around them and they have the ability to change it and they don't, or to let the sins become widespread amongst the Muslims and they have the ability to change these sins and then they don't change the sins. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to practice Islam as it's supposed to be practiced. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in the next chapter he says, بَابُ قَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَتَرَوْنَ بَعْدِي أُمُورًا تُنْكِرُونَهَا. Chapter, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will soon see after me affairs that you will oppose. And the statement of Abdullah bin Zayd, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, اصبروا حتى تلقوني على الحوض. And the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, be patient until you meet me at the حوض. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he brings the hadith of Zayd ibn Wahb, who says, سمعت عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قال لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم سترون بعدي أثرة وأمورا تنكرونها. قالوا فما تأمرنا يا رسول الله؟ قال أدوا إليهم حقهم وسلوا الله حقكم. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een, indeed you will see after me some leadership and some affairs that you will oppose. And they said, what do you command us with, Ya Rasulullah? He said, to give them their right and to ask Allah for your right. Here Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he brings also one of the other important affairs, or one of the other important issues of this issue of fitna, and that it takes place with the people and the leadership. That the people have something against the leadership, and then they go out against it or whatever, and to cause the fitna between the people and the leadership. And nobody has to explain it any more than that, as we've seen enough of it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to end it in our community. Amen. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he gave us the answer to it, and that is to give the leadership its right, and then to ask Allah for your right, and to stay away from causing this fitna that everyone can be punished by, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had mentioned in the ayah, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained in this hadith, and the companions were upon the same explanation of staying away from this fitna, meaning don't let this fitna take place if it's amongst the few, and the rest have the ability to stop it, and they don't stop it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to stop this fitna. Before we continue, there's a question. What is a community supposed to do when it is witnessed that a husband allows a kafir to disrespect his wife and his deen, as well as defend the kafir over his wife? What can we as Muslims and or a community do about it? Allahumma musta'an. I don't have any comment on that question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he continues with bringing some hadith, and we'll skip one of them and go to the next one. Rather, we'll read all of them, inshallah. As Abdullah ibn Abbas, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, من كره من أميره شيئا فليصبر, فإنه من خرج من السلطان شبرا مات ميتة جاهلية. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever dislikes something from his leader, then be patient, because indeed whoever goes against the leader by a handspan dies the death of Jahiliyyah. And the Prophet ﷺ says in the next narration, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا يَكْرَهُهُ فَلْيَصْبِرْ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ فَارَقَ الْجَمَاعَةَ شِبْرًا فَمَاتَ إِلَّا مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever sees something in his leader that he dislikes, then be patient with it. Because indeed, whoever leaves the jama'ah by a handspan and dies the death of Jahiliyyah. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he's just showing from amongst the greatest fitness after these widespread sins amongst the Muslims and innovation in this deen is the fitna that takes place between the people and the leaders. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these hadith warned the Muslims against this type of fitna from taking place in the community. But unfortunately, it seems like this fitna here, and we're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala, that this fitna is taking place here. And myself, unfortunately, I've become tired of this fitna. And this is a statement amongst the statements that just shows that there are some people who want some division between the people and the leadership. And this is the statement of the people are blindly following me. The people are blindly following Abu Muslima. And this is, wallahi, a fitna from the people who want to divide the community. As we see in this talk, and all of the talks, inshallah ta'ala, that we try to base what we say on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the statements of the ulama. Blind following is when somebody comes up to you and talks from his own self, not quoting the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not quoting the scholars of Islam, and then the people follow him in that, then the people are blindly following him. Why do the people continue? Why do the people continue to say, as the people who are just out of it say, that the people in East Orange are blindly following one person? Everybody here, walhamdulillah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is trying their best to follow the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of the Salaf al-Salih. And that nobody here is blindly following. And if someone here is a blind follower, meaning that whatever I say from myself, without evidence from the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the statements of the ulama, that he's just here because he wants to follow me as an individual and not to follow the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of the ulama of Islam. If somebody feels like this, please raise his hand so we can correct him now, inshallah. And if there's nobody here, then let this be a discouragement to the people who keep saying it, to be quiet on saying something that doesn't take place. And if this is taking place, then we're asking the people right now, as we want to put an end, inshallah ta'ala, to this fitna, we ask the people right now, bring all of those issues where the people are following me and I'm coming for my own desires without quoting the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the way of the ulama, so we can deal with each and every one of those issues right now. Otherwise, we hope that we don't have to hear this anymore. Is there somebody from amongst the people who say that we're blind following here in East Orange that wants to bring up those issues of blind following so that we can stand corrected? Meaning they're going to bring the issue, inshallah, and to tell me where I was telling the people to do something based on my own desires, and then they're going to explain to us, in light of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where we should be on that particular issue. Or should I just point out some of the brothers who I heard said it and ask them, did they say this? And then to present your case now. Really, we prefer that the people have enough courage after Islam to stand up and to say what they have to say, instead of to just pass it around. Because nobody has come to me and said, to my face that I can remember, to say, you leading the people on your own desires, please stop and issue so-and-so and so-and-so. Except that I keep hearing it over and over from different people. Allah. Allah. There was a question from the sister. I don't really see the relevance to the topic. What if someone tells you that he robbed a bank and the bounty hunters are looking for him or her? What do you do? Ask if to turn himself in or be silent. Yeah, I don't know anything about that, Allah knows best. At any rate, we just wanted to summarize these two points today around this issue of fitna, that there's some fitna that can take place by a minority in amongst the Muslims, and the majority has the ability to do something about it, and they don't do something about it, everybody's going to be punished because of that fitna. And we have to be aware of that fitna by enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. And Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, as he began to mention some of the hadith, showed that this fitna takes place in different ways. And that amongst the ways is by innovating in this deen, meaning by establishing acts of worship to get closer to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, not prescribed by Allah or His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, or that the people just have big, open, major sins that are just apparent in the community, or as in the second chapter that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah meant, the issue between the division of the people and the leadership. And we had quoted some of the statements of the ulama to show that the fitna in this ayah could have meant in more particular, or into being more specific about this fitna, that's in general, inshallah, that this fitna is related to the division of the Muslims. And that sometimes we have a fitna going around, just like the example that I gave from the statement of the people saying that the people are blindly following me. This is a statement for someone just to cause problem between the leadership and the people by saying, nah, I don't blind follow him. Just for that, I'm going to show you. Why? I ain't even going to go to the masjid no more. See? I ain't with him. And you know how the people, they make a statement in order to let you show how it's not like they're saying, and they just made the statement up anyway in the first place as there's no backing. And every time we have to stand up and to ask the people to come forward, they never come forward. But they have all of their mouth when they're by themselves. I just hope that in the future, inshallah ta'ala, that if people hear, this is advice for myself, the Muslims, that if people hear that the Muslims are causing this type of fitna of division of the Muslims, that they be sure to warn the Muslims who are doing this from doing it. And to warn all of the Muslims who might be affected from this to be aware of those people who are dividing the Muslims and causing this fitna. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful. Yes.
Since you asked that question, it's just been on my mind that, believe it or not, one of the biggest issues that the people are still discussing, maybe not around here, of course, in another area of New Jersey, downtown, the people are just still saying that, in general, the people here at East Orange are following Abu Muslim are still on this masjid dirar issue, as far as calling it masjid dirar and things of that nature, because of the news that some other people, alhamdulillah, who Allah has blessed with knowledge, they're saying this is what the people are hearing, that you can't call it Masjid Jirar, and that the people are calling it Masjid Jirar with no proof, but Abu Muslima has the proof and everybody else doesn't have the proof, so they're blind following Abu Muslima. And when you're asked, why are you calling it Masjid Jirar, or bring your proof of how it's Masjid Jirar, then you can't produce the proof for your blind followers. This is what the people are saying.
When you hear them say that, what did you say?
They don't tell me.
How you hear
it? This comes to me by other people.
Yeah, when they brought it to you, what did you say to them?
I just argue. I get into argument, and I just let them speak. But, alhamdulillah, to me, myself, is, you know, clear, but I'm just telling you, this is one of the things that...
Really, alhamdulillah, and I'm glad that some of the brothers close to me, they witnessed this. When I came, I said that the way of the deviants to stop the truth is that they say that the people of the truth only focus on that. And for this matter, we wanted to make our classes to cover all of Islam so that people can't say you focus on that. If the people come here, like they say, that in East Orange there's a focus on Masjid Dirar, then the people obviously are blind. And here you find that people are focused on making zikr and dua. People are focusing on memorizing the Quran, practicing the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People are focusing on correcting their aqidah, correcting their understanding of Islam. Here people are focusing on where can they put their money to benefit Allah ta'ala's deen. People are focusing on how much of their spare time can they use to help Allah ta'ala's deen. People here are focusing on raising their children as real Muslim children by establishing a Muslim school. Here, and we can go on and on and on to show what the Muslims are focusing on. So really, the people, when they hear this, all I can say is the statement that some of the ulama used to say, they didn't find any shaitan to carry their news but you. Because really, we shouldn't have to hear stuff like that. Because as soon as somebody says it, you just say, really, it seems like the shaitan is whispering to you and he's catching you out there. I'm telling you, you should stop that thing right now. And then he's not going to carry it on any further. He's not going to carry it on because he's not going to let shaitan use him to spread this fitna amongst the Muslims. This issue is the issue that Abu Usama said that he had came, that he is going to deal with soon, inshallah ta'ala. So maybe he's going to deal with it. I said what I had to say on the issue, and walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Yes. Inshallah.
While you're trying to prevent this person from committing a fitna, is it permissible to hang out with him because he doesn't take the admonishment? Like, you're just trying to bring him around, you know he's causing a, he has open major sins with him, he's causing a fitna in the community, is it permissible to hang out with him?
This issue, is it permissible to hang out with the one who has all of these sins? This point, we had really dealt with it in a little more detail on the issue of Muslims boycotting Muslims. And the point of hanging out with somebody or not hanging out by cutting somebody off, then there's something that really has to be taken into consideration, and this is the majority and the minority. As the ulama explained, and even this is taken from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they have the ability to change it. And the ulama had mentioned that if those people in sin are in the minority, and the majority are upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it's upon those majority to change it. Not that it's any one particular brother, but it's upon the Muslims to change those few people who have those sins until they leave it. So if the majority are trying to do right and you have a minority, then it's going to be upon the majority to stay away from that evil minority. And when they interact with them, to warn them. But to sit down and to hang out and to play with them is to belittle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. As some of the ulama explained, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, by knowing that somebody is upon that which is wrong, and then you're sitting around as if you're giving a silent consent of it. And this was one of the points that we dealt with or were dealing with in this issue of al-wala wal-bara, or this issue of loyalty, and that our loyalty is to the Muslims, and it's upon us to separate from the disbelievers, because if we just hang around them and sit around them and talk with them as if nothing is wrong, then they say, no, I got Muslim friends. I don't know why you're trying to tell me I got to accept Islam. Man, I've been cool for 20 years. And they shouldn't have this attitude, but the disbelievers should say, if somebody calls them, yeah, I have one of my friends who's Muslim, and for 20 years he's been trying to get me to accept that thing. I don't want it. If he can't get me, you can't. But this is, should be the attitude of the disbeliever, because the Muslim, if he has to be around them, and we have to be around them in their land, that you're going to call them to that which is correct. And if you're forced to have to be around some of the Muslims who have these sins that they won't let go, when you're around them, try to call them to this truth, but not to get involved in hanging out in them, or they'll get you into what they're into. Because either you're going to call them, or you're going to be called to what they're upon. I'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us be strong on the truth. He had something general to say.
I just wanted to comment on what you're saying. You know, the point of the individuals are saying whatever they're saying about Muslims here at the Islamic Center, he starts blindly following the Muslims. I heard this statement from a particular individual, and it seemed to me like they were trying to solicit some support. And I talked to some other brothers here at the center, and they said that the same person answered them. So I addressed this and I did it on two different occasions. One was a couple days ago, and once was today. And I told this individual that first of all, if we're going to talk, and they said, well, why don't you come and talk to me or whatever, I said, if you're going to be talking about that garbage that you were talking about, there's nothing for us to talk about, okay? I said that, furthermore, the stuff that you're talking about, it's your own personal case, you shouldn't be spreading that stuff, okay? But, and the other brothers, and I shared this with the other brothers, and they agreed, but the thing is that this person says, just like you said, oh, I don't go to the center, okay? They try to justify all of their reasons or whatever the case may be. But the point is that it's a personal thing. It has nothing to do with the plan. Okay? And I don't know too much about the plan, but I do know this here much that the person who's speaking, they don't have any knowledge. Okay? And it's a personal thing. You know? And when these people come to us, we should stop them. You know? And try to admonish them and let them know that this is not a plan. You don't slander another Muslim, okay, because something happens and you disagree with it. You know? But the point is this here that I address this person. And I'm more than sure that everybody here knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like he's trying to rally up support, you know, for whatever the reason is. So we have to stop these people, you know, because that's where the division comes in. If we don't say nothing, then we become a part of it.
Nah, man, that's really the issue. Because if somebody says something about me, really, astaghfirullah, I hate to be a part of this old statement we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But nobody's worrying about somebody talking about me. And, just a minute. And who am I that the people won't talk about me? When they call the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a madman, and a poet, and a kahin. So of course they should call us worse than that. We ain't on the level of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. They can call us worse than that. And we shouldn't be offended whatsoever. Because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was called what he was called, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he continued to call the call to the truth. So we're on the nowhere to be compared with the prophets of Allah ta'ala, except that we try to practice what they left for us, and that nobody should feel offended. I'm the last one to feel offended what somebody says about me personally. But the issue isn't what somebody is saying personally about somebody, that there's something behind it, and this is the fitna of dividing the community and dividing the Muslims and turning some Muslims against other Muslims, or to make the Muslims oppose one another as they take certain figures to talk about them. And we know that it's a difference depending on who you're talking about, that it could divide the Muslims, and who else you're talking about might not divide the Muslims. So the people, they're aware of what they do, and even they know who to talk to. As the people seem to always catch the newer people, or the people they feel who don't have a good understanding, to drop all of their foolishness on them, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Well, let me see the brother, Abdul Malik. Right. Inshallah. Allah yabarak fi.
Wa alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
I just wanted to ask that ayah that you quoted at the beginning of the dars, where is this ayah?
It's at the place that I quoted where it was from.
And which was?
Surah to Anfal, verse number
25.
Allah wa fiqh. Wa fiqh. Wa alaykum salam wa
rahmatullah. The where do you draw the line when this happens with me? I didn't want to make it an issue, but now I want to get some advice. When this happened with me, someone was saying the same thing, you know, how far line leadership was at the front with another brother. And when he started to make takfir on the Muslims, call us kuffar or some deviant, I had to say something, you know, because he's defending the honor of the Muslims. So what do you do when you do that and you use ayahs from the Quran and Hadith, and now the brother runs out of weapons and he wants to harm you? What do you draw the line to try to keep from fighting him, which is the act of kufr, because the brother actually wanted to get killed? And I told him, you know, if you want to harm you, just make sure what you're doing is halal.
I can't rephrase all of that, but Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and hopefully we'll get a chance to cover it, he brings this other fitna of the Muslims killing one another. And this is also another fitna. And the Muslims know that the Muslim's blood is sacred, but they make up these excuses to make the haram halal. And this is one of the big fitnas. But really it's upon us, and this is the advice I've taken from one of the ulama, hafazahullah, and that's his statement, don't worry about what the people say. If what they say is good, alhamdulillah, and if what they say is wrong, then there's nothing to worry about. Because the people, they used to say to myself, you blindly follow al-albani. And I remember in the beginning we used to be upset and say, if we blindly follow al-albani, why do we have 1500 books in our library? Why don't we only have 10 of them in our library like you, 10 books from the Ikhwanul Muslimin? Or why don't we only have 3 books like you, 3 books of madhab so-and-so? And anyone who listens to the people, Ahlul Hadith, or trying to follow the truth, they hear so many scholars quoted, they wonder, which one do you like the best? And they hear you praise each of them so much that every time they hear you speak about one, they think you love him more than the next. Until you mention the next. No, it's that one. Until you mention the next. Because the people of the truth, they love the ulama. And they know that blind following is the way of the people of deviance. Rather, it's the way of the kuffar, who say that I'm going to die on what I'm dying on because my fathers were upon it. The way of the Muslim was on the truth is that he listens to what is being said and he follows the best of it. And he knows that what's upon him is to obey Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to follow the way of the Salaf al-Salih. So really this is just attempts from the people who are drowning in their own sins to try to prevent the people from purifying themselves. And really it's no need to worry about them now, alhamdulillah. As we see, alhamdulillah, the Muslims are just growing. Not just in number, but in the practice of al-Islam, alhamdulillah. And it's no need to even argue with the people. And I remember some time ago, we had mentioned the statement of one of our ulama, we remember the da'wah of so-and-so, and I remember the day we made Salatul Janaza on that da'wah. And we remember deviant so-and-so, and we remember the day we made janaza on that foolishness. And really, wallahi, even today, we can say it. People remember when maybe Noble Drew Ali was strong with that foolishness. And people remember when the Salatul Janaza was made on that foolishness, and the only people remaining are the living dead. And the same thing about the da'wah of Elijah. And the same thing about the da'wah of the White York from the Ansar al-Shayateen. And the same thing about many of the da'wahs of deviance, everybody remembers when it was living, and everybody remembers it dead. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to kill off this foolishness. So really it's not upon us to even argue with the people, because the truth is clear from falsehood, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. There's somebody else who has something. There's somebody else over here. This is all we had time to present today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success and to keep the fitna out from amongst us and to make us strong enough to deal with it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us wise enough not to take every little thing and call it a fitna and start attacking the Muslims. But that, as the examples were given from these hadith from Imam al-Bukhari, that when something becomes serious as dividing the Muslims or practicing bid'ah or practicing these open, big, major sins and calling the people to it and trying to make the people understand that it's okay to do it, when things get on this level, then it's upon the Muslims to stop the fitna, but not just on every individual brother that might have a few shortcomings. And all of us have shortcomings. We ask Allah to overlook them and not to make an attack. See, the brother, he didn't do such and such. Let's go stop him before the fitna spreads. Alhamdulillah. Or that the brother didn't do such and such. Let's stop him before the fitna spreads. But not on every little thing, but when the thing becomes serious, as the examples were mentioned from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Na'am.
know that when we get into these conversations, some of us are unable, you know, and fall into these kind of committing, you know, culture by physically doing stuff. And how many lives that we, inshallah, trying to establish between us, and these people who come with this stuff are going to try to get some of us to get into that, because that's just where they're trying to take some of us. And may Allah call down us, guide us, and protect us from that, because this is a serious factor of Muslims fighting one another.
Now this is only the way of the sinners, that they fight the Muslims. And the people who really have no iman, that they fight the Muslims. This is the way we used to do before we accepted Islam. Remember, we were kufar and the brother is hiking on you and you can't defend yourself, you just gotta swing on him. Because you can't defend it. And this is the same way when the people are upon their deviance and their foolishness, when the truth comes, they have nothing to say. When you quote the ayat, they can't say nothing. So the only thing they can say is, if you don't shut up, we're going to shoot you. Or stuff cotton in your mouth, like they say. And really, ain't nobody going to do nothing. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us strong. Because nobody's going to do anything except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed it. And we know that if the people come to get us, to harm us, and if Allah wrote that, that's what's going to happen to us. And if Allah wants the people to benefit us, and that's what he wrote for us, then it's going to happen. But the believer ain't worried about what's going to happen, because nothing's going to happen except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed. What the believer is worrying about is, how is he going to please Allah? How is he going to prepare himself to meet Allah? But nobody's going to be worrying about what somebody's going to do to you. Even in Jahiliyyah, the people were a little less worried about what somebody say he was going to do. And in Islam, it's even less than that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us die on this team. Well, let's make this the last comment. Interesting. We can help ourselves by being young in this deen, and by having a little knowledge by being quiet, and by worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find people, and I was just the other day, the brothers have come to debate on the issue of leadership. And he's drinking with his left hand like this, and he's reading. Now, brother, see, y'all brothers up there doing... And this, really, the way that somebody's going to save himself from becoming like this brother is from the worship of Allah. And we should concern ourselves with our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of concerning ourselves about big issues that we can't handle. As one of our sheikhs used to say, you want to fly but you don't have no wings. You want to speak about Islam but you ain't memorized no Quran. You ain't memorized no sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to be righteous but you don't make salah. And you don't fast. And you don't make zikr. You want the people to respect you. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us on, purify ourselves, and this correct aqidah and this true deen of Al-Islam. Walhamdulillah.